Now, we enter now even worse period. This is the from tonight or last night was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. We celebrate it on Sunday. From now until Yom Kippur in 10 days are called in the spirit the days of awe. A prayer to God, if you remember that, this is what the rabbis all over the world said a few hours ago. Now, O Lord God, impose thine awe upon all thy works and thy dread upon all thou hast created, that all thy works may revere thee and all creation prostrate themselves before thee, that they all may form a single band to do thy will with a perfect heart. That's the prayer of all the rabbis all over the world. It's our prayer in here. Yom Kippur is the day in which God in the Spirit, when Christ was baptized, that was the end of all sacrifices. That was the end of all everything. He played out his hand for 3.5 more years. What's the mystical 1260 or 90 months or whatever it is? I mean days. Huh? 42 months. But the end of all sacrifices occurred when the Son of God was baptized. And that's what happened on Yom Kippur. What that means is, it's hard for you to understand what Levitical sacrifices mean. But it meant that. But more important, it meant there was no more offering that man could make to better or to improve his lot. There was nothing else, there was nothing left that the human race could do. No offering that you individually could make that would have any lasting effect. No deal that you could make with your spouse or your lover or your friend. No alliances were possible from that time and forevermore. That's a big, big deal. Because the human race doesn't know that. They've spent their life trying to make deals. You understand? You've spent most of your life from the time you were a little kid trying to make deals. You make deals to avoid punishment. You make deals to get what you want at supper. You make deals with your siblings. You make deals. You make deals with. You make deals. That's all you do. God has said, "Those all deals are off. No deals will work." And then you wonder why your deals don't work. You're in opposition to God. The highest a deal is an ambition. You understand? If you have a goal, that's a deal. If you have an ambition, that's a goal. That's a deal that you've made. Can you understand that? Hear me. Talk to me if you don't understand. Any other position other than the perfect abandonment of yourself, taking no thought for yourself, is a deal. And God says, all deals are off as of the baptism of my Son. You don't believe it? Let's go to Daniel. I never get to talk about what I want to say. Daniel chapter 9. You understand rabbis have opinions about everything, about when things happened in the ancient Talmud. That's why there's 64 volumes. Well, some rabbis believe that this Daniel 9 verse 1 occurred on this feast, the feast of Rosh Hashanah. I've just proven to myself a real big, it probably means nothing to you, but it means everything to me, that John chapter 5 was all said by Jesus on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. I mean, if you knew how important, I spend years trying to figure out which section of Scripture goes with what. You understand? I found a whole chapter of John that I can prove was what he said on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. It's the first time I've ever found anything that he said as an adult. Of course, he was born in Rosh Hashanah, and all the things were said about him. But chapter 5 of John is the first thing I've ever found that he said on Rosh Hashanah. We'll study it when we do Rosh Hashanah. But I believe this, Daniel 9, probably also occurred in Rosh Hashanah. But let's read it. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now, all of that means that, remember, this is the time when the Persia, Media, confederation was, and they had overcome Babylon. Remember? Yeah. Never mind. Just trust me. Trust was. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations or ruins of Jerusalem. Now, that's a big deal. Everything in modern Christianity, evangelical Christianity, is about these 70 years of Jeremiah, which are now going to be, we'll see in a minute, about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Okay?
He studied and figured this out?
Yeah. He studied, that's what it says, by the word. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, this is why I believe this was on, because he's in the days of awe now, from the Feast of Rosh Hashanah to the Feast of Yom Kippur. It's in the days of awe. It's the time, one other thing that we didn't read. You read it. Hopefully you all got a memo. Did everybody get a memo about Rosh Hashanah? The call at the beginning of the feast is, awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life. Reflect on your deeds. Remember your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things. Forsake your evil ways and your evil thoughts. According to everything that Jewish, the Jews believe that the human race is asleep. And so whatever the human race does, the Gentiles do as if they were asleep, it has the same effect as if a dream. They're dead, as far as they're concerned. You understand? So all of the acts of the Gentile world to the Jew is simply a dream that the Gentiles are having because they're asleep. Now, the call to wake up is a biggie. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. It's repeated in Isaiah. It's repeated here. It's repeated in Ephesians by Paul. It's repeated in Joshua. Wake up. Wake up. Stop chasing dreams. Stop chasing shadows. Stop running from ghosts. Start living as though today were everything. You understand? Okay, now in order for us to do that, we have to get rid of the crap that's going on in here. Now here's what he says. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteous belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have transgressed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Now, at this point, the really spiritual Jews, and I know the real spiritual people among us, will want to go and read just for a minute Deuteronomy. Let me see, Deuteronomy 28, I think. Just keep your hand in Daniel. Verse Deuteronomy 28, from 1 through 14, are the blessings of obedience. The blessings of hearing under. Do you understand what obedience means to us? Obedience to the world means that you have to do what somebody says to do. Obedience to the Spirit says, I must hear the word of God under any circumstances that I find myself in. I must hear that He is there, that He is the author of it, that whatsoever is taking place is perfect, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose. Do you understand? That's what obedience is. Now, that kind of obedience is far more difficult than the obedience that the world teaches, which is really, they want to make men like angels. So that, you know, you go kick the wall, go do this, go do this, go do this. God didn't want any part of that. God wants you to be transformed by hearing under whatever circumstance you find yourself in. And that's a biggie. That's more difficult than asking you to climb Mount Everest with one leg. You understand me? So here we have the blessings of obedience are wild. They're wonderful. The consequences of disobedience, however, are from Deuteronomy 28:15 through the end of the chapter. We'll just give you a broad. Some of you heard these in your hot seats, huh?
Don't miss 27.
The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou cannot be healed.
Ed's favorite one too.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Even in ancient Israel, the wording here is so wild, that you observe to do, that you see to do. Even back then, even when this was written, it was only a pattern, an image, a metaphor, a schematic to show Jesus Christ. That you, as you see that he's done, all that's what it means to observe to do. And because you see that he's done and that he is your life, you hear under whatever circumstances you find yourself. You no longer are concerned with your own self-divinity. Do you understand that? Every act of going inward is an act of self-divinity, no matter what the reason. It's an act of you deciding to be as God, to judge for yourself what is right or wrong for you or what is good or evil for you. An act of divinity. God hates that. How many times have you had an act of divinity today? Can't do that with impunity any longer. We are in the days of awe. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. The increase of thy cattle and the flocks of thy sheep, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with fever, with an inflammation, with extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. Do you understand? There's some bad stuff here. The whole of the rest. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. At evening you shall say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night, and have none assurance of thy life. What's the opposite? The opposite is the peace that passes understanding in any circumstance that you find yourself. The opposite is that knowing for the certainty that God is both the author and the finisher of faith, that your only job is to rest, that for finally, once in your life, for one time, there's no righteous concern. You understand that? You understand how weird that would be for most of you, not to have a concern? But my concern, oh, you don't understand. My concerns are, I have to be concerned with this. It's human nature. Then you have not heard one word I've said. If you believe there's anything that you should be righteously concerned about, then you don't believe in God. Or else you just have made God chief among your many gods. Do you hear me?
Yeah, what I'm really hearing is the thing we studied about, to the thrower, he shows himself forward or whatever. That's the way he is, that's the way he reveals himself. And this thing here, if you do not hear the voice of God, if you don't hear the word of the Lord and see, then this is what you will hear and see. Amen. This is the reality that will come upon you. It's the judgment.
For the next 10 days, or more than that, because of the way we're doing it. Well, maybe not. From now until a week from Saturday. Which I guess is 10 days. From now until a week from Saturday, I would that you would study Daniel 9, that study Deuteronomy 28, study the readings that are listed in these scriptures, in his memos. And let the awe of God be imposed upon you. So maybe for the first time in your life, you would know the fear of God. Let's go back to Daniel. Verse 9:13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. You've got to hear this once and for all. In Hebrew, the word iniquity is aven. It means self-seeking, self-effort, self-concern. Self-anything is iniquity. Even the concern as to whether or not you believe is iniquity. Understand that? This isn't a choice. This isn't a theory. Last night I put up with from one of the guys that's supposed to be the teacher. Well, how come nobody else in the world is saying this stuff? I don't know whether anybody else in the world is saying this stuff. I don't care whether anybody else in the world is saying this stuff. Make it not less true? You hear me? You don't turn from your iniquities. You, within your iniquity, within your self-seeking, you ask God to bless it. God bless you can get righteous in it. Take a stand in it. And you take a stand in your sincerity by acting in, by believing in your own sincerity, you've elevated yourself above the Father. You must suspect by now that maybe your mind has been lying to you. Tell me what good has your mind or your emotions ever done for you? It's led you and up in the... It's led you down one, up one primrose path and down the other. It's led you into... It's led you like a dog with a pork chop in front of him, or a donkey with a carrot. You understand? You've been led around by the nose, seeking little more little goodies, little things, little relationship, little stuff. And every time that you've gone after that stuff, I don't care if it's the bow stuff, every time you've gone after it, even if you've gotten it, it's not brought you nothing but misery. And yet, you tonight, you believe that lie more than you believe the word. Because 5 minutes from now, you will start being concerned with your own self-seeking again, your own iniquity. You will begin to go inward. Do you wonder why God dealing... I mean, it took 80 years of God's dealing with Moses before he was able to speak the word. It took Paul 21 years before he wrote his first word. Ezekiel was a priest for years. Then he had to spend those months, 300 and some days, lying on his side, eating his own dung as a witness against Israel. Not saying a word. Half the time he was shut up to faith. He couldn't say a word until the word that he spoke could come out without anything of him in it, so that he was empty. Blessed are the empty in spirit, the poor in spirit. There's so many mixtures within you. Let this awe season, this awe, days of awe, be a time in which that fear of God would cleanse that spirit. So you wouldn't walk around as some idiotic Gentile just with a different change of clothes on. So that you walk around as a new creation that is not part of this world that all things exist for, that we are not part of any of it. Do you hear me? You know, last night I had, in a split second of time, I had to risk you, everything. And it was, I would. I'm not going to permit, especially an elder or a leader, to wallow in self-seeking under any guise. The Levites think they have it rough, but in fact, it's... Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, we're not talking about that idiotic city in the Middle East. We're talking about the new Jerusalem that we purport to be a part of. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. I said all that to say the following. The following is what about the baptism of Jesus. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. This is a biggie. Understand the matter and consider the vision.
I love that at the beginning of the supplication Gabriel was dispatched.
Amen. The moment he began to...
Oh, I didn't have to be well
in
the
bed.
The moment he turned, it was finished. It took a while to work out in time, but it was finished.
The moment the beginning of the application, the commandment came forth. Is it usually Gabriel who comes and explains stuff?
Gabriel is usually the one who comes and destroys stuff.
Is it Gabriel or...
I just wonder if there was an explaining angel.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
Well, didn't you say that some angels would come and do this and that? Or they all just pretty much...
I think they just... No, archangels are... They can do whatever...
Gabriel announces stuff.
He doesn't speak in mind.
He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding, etc., etc. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Saying 70 weeks. That's the 70 weeks that Jeremiah talked about in Jeremiah 26. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troubles times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate even until the consumption, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, what I can show you, point by point, year by year, is how this was all fulfilled at the cross. That he 3.5 years before the cross, the mystical 42, 3.5 years, 42 months, etc., he caused the sacrifice to cease from God's standpoint the moment he was baptized. Now, think about how much you've caused to sacrifice. How much have you sacrificed in your life? To what? And for what end? And for what purpose? He caused the sacrifice to cease. Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place.
He's not letting anyone know.
15. It's a mystery.
When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, what does that mean? It's got a... Then it says, let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains, etc., etc., etc. What's the abomination of desolation?
Isolated self.
No, it's spoken of specifically by Daniel in 9:27. We just read it. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until a consumption. And that determined shall be poured upon the people, upon the desolate. What's the abomination of desolation? Some of you must have gone to religious places sometime. Didn't they ever tell you what that was?
It's when they built the Kaaba right there.
Okay, go there. That's a good one. When you shall see the abomination of desolation. Revelation 13.
Mark, chapter 13. Is it Mark?
Mark.
Oh, I thought you said Mark. I mean, I thought you said Revelation.
Revelation? That's the last place.
Where's in Revelation?
I've never done this
before. Mark, September and I already took
it. It's just, that's just, it says the same thing.
Revelation 19:20.
Was that a Ryrie study Bible?
Yes.
No, it's a Schofield.
Schofield.
Oh my God, that's worse.
No, let's don't worry about it. You go to Revelation 13, I'll show you where it's the abomination of desolation. Revelation 13. Here is wisdom, let him that hath...
Verse 18.
Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, when you see the abomination of desolation...
See it in yourself.
When you see the abomination of desolation, then shall the end come.
In the 666...
666 is you.
It's the number for your name.
Humanity.
It's the number of man, the human race. It's your mind, the Antichrist.
So basically, when you see the abomination of desolation,
when you recognize
stand
it,
in the holy place.
Stand.
Wherever
you.
Wherever you're standing. Wherever
you stand in the holy place.
You go on.
Now go to 2 Thessalonians. I'll show you something else.
I knew you were going.
When you see this, and you go from 666.
This is the man. This is man of perdition.
So when you're in that situation, you say. It would be,
get thee behind me. But no, but the real, the lesson of it is when you see it, then the end is going to come. You understand that?
No.
You understand it, you just don't want to understand it.
This is a body.
When you see it, the end shall come.
As a body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that when a minion sees it.
So
yeah, so who's that?
Yeah, who's holding us up?
Who's holding us up?
That's
right.
I
don't know who's
got to
steal
it. It's General Electric Power Company, then the five T's, the long T's come before the short T's.
Okay, tell us who the Antichrist is, and then we can go.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now remember, everything that we're going to study in the readings for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur and for the Feast of Tabernacles, all concern themselves with the end. You understand? The day of the Lord. In one way or another, all of them concern themselves with the day of the Lord. When everything is over. So does this one. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, everybody that I know of in the evangelical fundamental world is looking for this man of sin, the son of perdition. You understand that? Ever since this book was written, they've been saying, first of all, they said it was Nero. Then it was, some said it was Constantine. Then some, every one of the emperors has been called the emperor. I mean, it's been constant until now. Still is. But here, among us, the man of, therefore the man of sin has never been revealed. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Until now. The man of sin is you, the human race. Listen. There must be the falling away first. The falling away meaning like, it's like the mask has to come off so that there's a falling away so you can see what's there. Do you understand that? There must come a falling away first, and the son of, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I ask you, I beg of you, tell me that isn't you. Tell me that that doesn't describe what your life has been even unto this day. You are the temple of the living God. You are the one that have set yourself up in that temple, showing yourself to be the God of that temple. There's been no cross in your life. There's been no picking up the cross because you weren't sure. You still thought you had to take it into your own hand. You still thought you were separate. Therefore, you had to lie and cheat and murder and scheme to bring your own end into the objective into focus. Tonight, that man of sin has been revealed. It's you. The response of that, the response to that, is what the Feast of Rosh Hashanah and the Feast of Yom Kippur are all about. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. Coming there is a wrong translation. It's parousa. He shall be destroyed with the brightness of his presence in you. Do you understand? In your temple, when this temple is full of the Spirit of God, the brightness of that presence shall destroy this son of perdition, the man of sin. But it can only happen through the cross. It can only happen if there's the falling away first, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed in this temple. Don't go, don't be among those idiots that are searching for the whole, for the beast in Belgium. They're saying it's a computer. Look in the mirror. Read the Hal Lindsey books have sold 25 million copies by saying all this horse hockey about the Antichrist and, I mean, it's ludicrous. Look in the mirror. Hal, baby, that's the days of all. Let this man of sin be exposed in you. That the brightness of his presence will destroy that. You understand? Now, please, I beg of you, understand that all sacrifices have ceased. You don't have to make a sacrifice to anybody else anymore. You don't have to present your little offerings. Don't expect any little offerings from anybody. Don't expect little niceties. Don't give any. Just be you. Risk everything and be yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Does everybody understand a little bit?
For me tonight, it's like I never